Hello and welcome back to Millennial 2018. And now I'm here with Jeff from the White Art Collective. Now, Jeff, welcome to Millennial.
Thank you for having me.
And could you briefly describe what the White Art Collective is?
The White Art Collective is a collection of artists of European descent. Basically, what we're trying to do is to bring artists together to help them get the resources they need. To try to encourage collaboration. I'm also working on a distribution element to it. And it's kind of a union for artists too, because I want to try to find a way to get, not only get people the resources to make their piece, but to try to get people paid for it as well.
Right. And this is a very obvious question to ask, and the answer might be obvious, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why did you start this?
Just from seeing all of the attacks on our culture. And actually, before that, as an artist, I mean, I'm a filmmaker and a musician, have been for a long time. I'm in my mid to late 30s. I think I'm around your age. I'm on the cusp between the Xers and the millennials. So, and I got an older and a younger brother. But anyway, so I've been at this for a while. And, you know, like artists are just, they never have representation in a good way. The business has always been screwing them over. So I kind of had, you know, an inkling of this in the past, but then it, you know, it kind of really made more sense when it became more of an in-group kind of a thing. It really kind of brought it into a clear focus. And again, just because we're under attack and, you know, I want to preserve what we've already done and kind of inspire people and give them the resources to make it anew.
Right. Okay. So at this stage, I mean, when was it begun? When was it started?
I built the site back in January of 2018, and I, you know, got like a Twitter account and Gab and whatnot. And I had a couple of buddies that, you know, I didn't want to start it completely by myself. So I had like two other musicians on the site. And then I kind of started slowly recruiting people. I started with The Decency, was kind of my first big win. If you're not familiar with him, he's done some really great work. But he's collaborated with Xurious and some other bigger names like Vanguard Music and whatnot, but he does great stuff and it's very accessible. But I kind of started slowly working with people and slowly winning people over. And now we have about, I think like 15 or so artists, but I've got a lot, I can't even keep up right now with all the different contacts I've got. And, you know, right now we've got at least probably like 20 people and, just constantly expanding. And then there's people who are just kind of helping, you know, kind of on the outskirts who are moral support and also even some people looking for some tactical support. So that's a big help.
Right. Excellent. It sounds like you've already, I mean, within the space of a year, you've established this and got it going, got it on the road.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really excited about where we are. Honestly, I'm already kind of tapped out because I've started like producing a number of shows on our YouTube channel. We got like a skit show called War of the Words. It's basically just like we do one skit at a time because we're so tapped out. You know, we're not getting any money at this juncture. So it's like we're so tapped out for time and resources. But I'm working with a guy who has a professional recording studio here where I'm at. And I got a show called Artistic Dissection where we examine, you know, different pop songs, stuff we like and stuff we don't like, and kind of really get into like how this subversive propaganda works. But I haven't really done one of something I like, but I would like to do that as well, kind of balance it out a little bit. A show called Real America Speaks. So, I mean, like I said, I've already got all these plates spinning and we're working on it.
We'll go into that later. For now, sure. I know that that's a very important thing that obviously you want to talk about, but we'll get to that at later on. For now, I just want to sort of introduce people to the project as a whole. So one obvious question is, it's a White Art Collective. Which art forms are encompassed in this? And well, you answer that.
I mean, basically anything that's a true expression of the European soul. We tend to, as a friend of mine recently put it, culture is downstream of race and art is a part of culture. So there's a way in which we express ourselves, which is very much unique to us, like the kind of music that we make and, you know, the kind of paintings, the kind of films that we would do, although we've never been in control of the film industry, but that's something we'll worry about at some point. But, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty much all encompassing. for, like I said, anything that expresses the European soul. But I mean, we do discriminate, you know. I haven't really had to kind of yet, but we discriminate, you know, as far as like, is this really representative, you know what I mean? Because everybody else has an organization for their in-group. So I'm not going to bring stuff in that's too outside of that, that realm, you know, and that's, you know, it's a little bit sometimes maybe hard to determine. It's a fuzzy line, but, the point is that we do discriminate, you know, we're making that cool again.
But it sounds like you're able to discriminate. It sounds like you've got enough people coming forward that, you know, you don't need to just take anything.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm finding, it's not like I've really, well, okay, this is actually funny. When I first set up the site, this is discrimination. I set up the site and I made this nice little forum, cause I did that in my previous life in like Office World, you know. I set up this forum and I was all excited, like, oh cool, somebody filled it out. This was back when I first launched the website, and I go in there and I click on it, and it's like, okay, you know, and they sent me a bunch of links to their pictures, and I was clicking through it, and after a while I realized it was like furry.net or something was the website it took me to. So it turned out that I was like, wow, what is with all these like ripped cartoon eagles that's kind of homoerotic? And it turned out I was like some furry. I know the name of the person, but they've kind of like contacted me here and there. And I asked my friends, it's like, is this even real, or is someone just trolling me like right off the bat? But I didn't put it on the site just because it was the first person. I was like, no, that we can't have that. So we don't just take anything.
Right. Good. I mean, it's important. It really is.
Can I say one more thing about that though?
Yeah. Sure.
So like, I think of the White Art Collective eventually as being like an institution. So I technically would like people who are serious about it, who really are serious artists. I would take people of various levels of skill, because one thing that I was frustrated when I was a younger artist is that there was no, I never had a mentor, you know, no one ever helped me. I just kind of fumbled. I know that you went to art school and you're artistically inclined as well. So no one ever helped me. I just fumbled through it, you know, and it's hard to find a group to join. Or so I want to also raise up and like even have perhaps like an educational wing of the White Art Collective that helps people learn how to develop their technique, you know, and that kind of thing. So I don't want people who aren't where they want to be yet to be discouraged. Like if you take art seriously and you want to be an artist, you know, please contact me and we can talk and figure something out.
That's very useful, because of course a large part of becoming an artist is gathering the technical skills necessary that you might not even know you need. I mean, I remember talking about art college. I suppose we can go into that briefly. One of the things that really excited me and subsequently disappointed me about art college was that we were told we were going to just be loaded up with skills. They're like throughout the first year, we're just going to be in, they're called it inductions. We're going to be inducted on metalwork, carpentry, this machine, this tool, that technique, and in the digital realm as well. And I thought, that's great. I'll probably discover things that I enjoy and benefit from things that I've never even thought about before. And then none of it happened. Nothing happened at all. So it was like, what about all these inductions that you're... And, I mean, that's just one example of the waste of time that art college so often is for people.
Oh yeah. So what did you learn?
Nothing. I only learned what I taught myself.
Well, yeah. Yep. That's kind of how I wasn't like in the art school proper. I went to like a big state university, and I went to the TV, radio, film, because I was always interested in film and music and whatnot. So that seemed to make sense at the time. And so I kind of was like orbiting outside of that hardcore, like fine arts sector, you know, but, the same thing applied. I mean, a lot of what I learned was, I didn't learn a lot of stuff, but the technical stuff, you know, you didn't get enough time with the cameras. You didn't really get comfortable with anything. I didn't get to edit enough to, you know, you really need to kind of really get the chance to just mess around with stuff. And there was never enough time for that. It was too parsed out to too many people. And it was frustrating. And I learned how to wrap cords the appropriate way. You got to do it in such a way to cables, because like they'll coil over themselves. Like a lot of people, you know, you put your headphones in your pocket. There's a way to do that where you roll one way, you put it one way, and then you roll your hand over, and then it doesn't coil in on itself. Like you do that with XLR cables, mic cables. That was one of the most, that's my joke. That's one of the most like useful things I learned.
Sounds like spending tens of thousands of dollars was worth it if you knowing that.
Totally. Ask my parents.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same boat, you know. I'm not making fun of you. It's just, and so many people I knew at art college were saying the same thing. You know, it's like, what's the point of this? It's a shame because, you know, in theory, it should be something great and, you know, a wonderful time of your life when you learned all these things. But for most people, it just doesn't seem to happen. But anyway, that's a different topic, really. So getting back to the White Art Collective, I asked which art forms does it cover, and I think we've established that well, right now it certainly covers music, but we'll get to that later. And what else? What else are you looking into? What else? I mean, you said anything, but be a bit more specific.
Yeah. Well, like it is focused on, I can kind of just speak to that now because it kind of speaks to that question, is everything. I think everything's kind of music centric, and that's not anything that I'm trying to do, I don't think, because I am a musician before I was anything else. I think that it's probably just easiest, and there's the most people doing music, you know, because music with electronic production is just like easier. And a lot of people are doing, you know, like fash wave and synth wave. So it's really just like very, very accessible to a larger group of people. So there's a lot of that. But I also have like, you know, there's a poet in there, Zen Constitutional. I think you had him on Millennial last year. And that's actually the first time I heard of him. And so good work on that. But we got like a painter in there. You know, all the other ones are kind of sparse. I'm talking to another poet guy as well. Oh, we got a guy that does caricatures. And he's like also a comic book artist. So, I mean, like what I'm trying to do is I really am genuinely like, you know, someone also asked about, mobile, but those little sets where it's like a miniature of everything. What is that called? I can't remember what it's called.
I can't remember the term. Diorama.
Yeah, that's what it's right. Someone was like, I was on the Carolyn Emmerich stream, and someone was like, do you take dioramist? And I'm like, well, I mean, sure. I mean, why not? You know, kind of the idea is I'm just trying to get all these creative people together, and, you know, we make like a little profile on the website. You know, maybe eventually it'll kind of be more, I mean, I'm just, you know, doing real simple stuff right now. But it's to kind of get artists to be able to network together to create kind of a sense of community so they can get to know each other. And, work on projects together and stuff. So, I mean, I genuinely, and also like, you know, you never know. I'm always just looking at like, okay, how can I use a dioramas? Like I'll find a way. That's the kind of guy I am. I'll find a way. Like I'm a filmmaker. We might need to make miniatures, you know, for some special effects or something. So I could totally see using something like that. But so, yeah, I mean, genuinely it's pretty much anything. I challenge someone to bring some kind of art form as long as it's not too degenerate. There's, you know, but, that's something that I couldn't find some kind of use for. So,
I suppose given given obvious factors, a sort of temptation would be, or an assumption that some people would make about a project like this, is that it's going to be political, and that whatever art is put forward, is contributed to, it should be white nationalist. But I get the strong feeling that you are not up for that. It's much more subtle and human than that.
Yeah. I mean, the name, I did want to go explicit with the name, and I did that very intentionally because, you know, for one thing, collective, an art collective is thought of as a very leftist, you know, this as well as anybody. It's a very leftist concept in kind of the current paradigm. So I kind of want to jar people out of that. While simultaneously just putting the white right in their face. So right off the bat, it's kind of like jarring you out of what you're used to. But sorry, what was that original question?
That's a really good thing that you've said there. The question was about the art itself or the music itself being overtly political, because that's right. Something that people often assume. And I think that it's a bad road to go down, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's only inherently political in that being white is inherently political, you know, to that extent. But what I always tell people when they ask me, like, what are you looking for? What are you trying to do? Is I say, we want to create more pro us than anti them content. Like, I would much rather people, you know, just like I said, you know, a true expression of yourself, like truly and freely being yourself. I would rather have that than just let's do parodies making fun of every single out group on planet Earth. You know, that's fun and all, but like that's not really, we need a positively reaffirming culture. So yeah, that's more of what I'm trying to do is, that's where the main focus is. And then we can also have our little jibes here and there, but more so than anything, like we have such a, we're under attack and so many people are so deracinated. I first want to make sure that they have something positive to hold on to.
Yeah. And the other part of it is, and I don't want to be, you know, domineering here or putting words in your mouth, and you might not agree with what I'm going to say, but I suspect you will. The other part of it is the human side of it. I think that art that has an overt political message tends to be crap. I mean, it tends to be really sort of lowbrow and uninteresting, and it's just a sort of musical dressing for a political message. And it's like, why bother with the musical dressing?
Right. Yeah, it comes off as try hard, you know.
Yeah.
I don't shy away from the term propaganda, but I think that right now, like because of the situation we're in, it's not hard to make genuinely inspired art that does have that, you know, that somewhat of a political tint to it. But for the most part, you know, like it's also just, it's easy to just like, it's a space to be free to actually be yourself, you know, to truly be what we are, as what Spencer says, right? To be who we are.
Yeah. And what we are is not constantly concerned with our racial survival. That's the thing. You know, that there's much more to being European than, you know, constantly going on about the fact that you're European, basically.
Yeah. That's why I'm trying to go in more of a direction right now of being, I want to get more entertainment, more genuinely just straight entertainment. That's why I started doing like the skit thing. And I'm trying to encourage people to do more comedy stuff, but also just like shows that aren't inherently political or even really propaganda. Like we're working on a 3D animated like comedy cartoon show. And the guy who's the animator and the writer of it, he wants it, you know, he wants it to kind of, it's going to be fairly apolitical. I mean, it'll have little stuff here and there. It can never be completely apolitical, but, and I think that's a good thing. It'll just be like, cause when you create art that just, when it comes from a perspective, like that's what matters, you know, it's that, cause you see this stuff, I mean, and I know you understand this very well, is like, you see a commercial, you see, not that a commercial's art, that's a whole different discussion. I've talked about that with traditionalist Western art, but like a film or a show, it's so clear that it's coming from a particular perspective. And right now in the mainstream entertainment, like I'm not seeing anything coming from our perspective. Like we're totally, you know, and that you just feel weird and alien all the time. And in your culture, like out on the streets. And that's the thing, like we just to have things made from our perspective would be a huge improvement that kind of happens unconsciously. And you don't have to convince people of a political perspective. You don't have to talk to them about the JQ or race realism. They'll just feel it and understand it. And we can communicate to our own people in a way, in that way, that the out groups can't and the subversives can't.
Yeah. And I think it's more effective, at least for some people. I mean, there are some people who want overt politics and they just want to sort of get involved at that level, that engagement. And there are many other people who simply, I think, will respond to the comfort of hearing and seeing their people and a European voice, a European perspective. And a good example of this is, maybe you won't agree with this, I don't know, but I think the work of David Lynch is extremely, it's European-American. But it's not overtly political. I mean, I think in many ways he's left wing. Actually, he's a Democrat. He's a liberal. But I think that his work rests on the comfort of white America. And so, when you watch one of his films, you are watching a European or a European American perspective on life, on being alive. You know, on just being a creature in the world. But it's not overtly political. But by being what it is, it sort of reinforces, it strengthens that sense of, well, us.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I'm personally not a David Lynch guy. I can never been able to get into him, but I see what you're saying. And I don't disagree with that. In that kind of, on the flip side of that, like, a lot of people like the Coen brothers, for instance, right? They have all these cult classic films that people love to reference. And the Big Lebowski's funny. Most of the rest of them, I'm like, whatever. But they've always felt weird to me. Like, they've never felt like,
yeah,
it's kind of a spectacle to me. I don't relate to the perspective, you know, and that makes a lot more sense now that I'm fully red pilled, right? Yeah, right. But what's weird, actually, I happened to watch a video randomly that you made from like 2014 the other day. It just popped up after one of the millennials where you were talking about your favorite films, and you were talking about The Shining and Kubrick. And I really like The Shining as well. I mean, it's a beautiful movie, beautifully shot. I mean, the acting's great. It's just a fascinating, fascinating film. Great location, you know, just like what a weird and interesting. I love isolation films. I don't know. They're that's scary. That's like the scariest thing. But it's interesting because he actually is out-group, but yet that film kind of feels more, you know, akin in a way. I don't know why, but you know, those older films kind of conform a little bit more maybe, but
what I would say about that film and Kubrick in general is that he was out-group. He was a Jew. I think he was East European. I don't think he was Russian Jew. I mean, he might have been Russian or East European Jew. But he is out-group, but I think he's sympathetic to, well, Europeans. I don't think he has the sort of stereotypical attitude that of you know, the Hollywood Jewish or and New York Jewish elite. I don't think he's subverting, actually. I think that even while The Shining, we could get into The Shining. You know, this is, but I don't want to because I want to keep it focused, but I'll just say this. He's talking about the struggles of the white man and how the white man inevitably ends up doing pretty, well, any conquering force ends up doing pretty awful things, in this case to Native Americans and the blacks. And you know, we can go on about how that might be exaggerated in history, whatever. It doesn't really matter. I think we can all agree that conquest is not a pretty thing in the best of circumstances. So any conquering force ends up doing things like that. And I think in the case of The Shining, he's sort of depicting that and the white man struggling with that, struggling with the guilt of that and so on. There are various things that you could go into here, but I don't want to because it would take too long. The point is, I don't think he's subverting. I think that he's very much an outsider, sort of presenting this almost mathematically. This is the white man struggling with his with the weight of history bearing down upon him. I think that's basically what The Shining is about. And I don't think he's subverting. I think it's the same with Eyes Wide Shut. My feeling is that he's not doing what, you know, we sometimes say that Jewish filmmakers do. It is weird. It's weird because at the same time, it doesn't quite feel European. It doesn't quite feel like this was made by one of us. It does feel like it has the sort of detachment, the almost clinical cold detachment of the outsider about it, because I think it does. Anyway, let's not get that's what I would say about Kubrick. But let's not get into that because again, it's a distraction. So we'll get back to the matter of the White Art Collective. So you wrote down some notes at the start. So do you want to work our way through that? You said the first thing is artist recruitment. What did you want to say about that?
I guess I kind of already said it. You know, just that I'm constantly out there looking for artists and trying to bring people into the fold, like I said, for collaboration. And I'm trying to help people distribute their stuff too, because when you get out there by yourself, you know, and you make your own website and all this kind of, you're just like a page, you're a letter in a word in the dictionary, you know, like, so we need generally just a better distribution mechanism. So that's one of the things I'm working on. We have a store, but I'm actually working on something that's a little more normie friendly and separate from the White Art Collective. I'm actually working with some people and putting together a proposal. So we might have something significant in the not too distant future. But yeah, just
I just want to interject and say this, that one of the things about art college is that the artists who are successful are the ones, in my experience, are the ones who are able to network, because that's just an essential part of surviving as a one-man band. You have to be able to negotiate and put yourself out there and so on. And a lot of artists are not able to do that, and they just flounder because of that lack of social intelligence, or they just don't have the connections. So I think it's a very important thing that you're doing here in that respect.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's the funny thing is that a lot of what I find is the best artists probably don't have the best social skills, because they're interesting, they're very eccentric and idiosyncratic people. So they're not necessarily, like, that's a whole skill set to be like a self-marketing, you know, salesman type. And most artists don't have that, and I wouldn't want them to have that. And the ones that do, you know, I've been around in the music scenes or the whatever, you know, it works in all the different ones, where there's the guy with the big cheesy smile who's like, "Hey guys, here's my tape, dude," you know, and those guys usually make the worst music, and but they end up getting, and they end up being successful because they can play the game. What that's why, like, we need this, you know, what I'm trying to do here is, like, so that artists don't have to do all that. They don't have to worry about marketing themselves. Like, someone comes in, artists control it, and they say, "Hey, that artist is really good. They're doing something really interesting and unique. Let's cultivate that and let's get it out there to the public and let them just focus on the work, you know, like, let's get back to a specialization in a good way." And it's funny because, you know, organizing artists is kind of like herding cats, but because they are very
herding right wingers.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Herding right wing artists must be even worse.
Yeah, you know, it's weird though. They might actually be a little bit more, I mean, maybe more inclined, because they understand the need for like hierarchy and stuff. So left-wing artists, yeah, that's just, I think I suggested, you know, some kind of organization to left-wing artists back at some point, and they're just like, "What the hell are you talking about?" They can't even imagine, like, what do you, you know, but, and of course there would never be allowed to be like hierarchy or judgment or anything like that. So, but yeah, so that's the idea is to do that so they don't have to do all those things. That's the service I want to provide.
Mm. So you're going to need not only artists to contact you and musicians and so on, but also people who can help with distribution and exhibitions and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody who's interested in the concept at all. Like, I mean, I need people. I'm already at a point where, you know, I need people. I'd be nice if someone was like answering emails for people who are interested. And, you know, I'm not getting tons and tons of them, but there's enough to where it's like, "Oh, I'm trying to edit this show. I need someone to answer that." You know, you get, I mean, I'm sure you understand, like, you get overwhelmed real fast.
Oh God. Yeah. Yeah.
You're a one man show. It's like, woo.
Yeah.
But I do have people helping me, but I'm doing the overwhelming majority. And, you know, I'm trying to kind of set things up. Like, I mean, I used to work in the office, you know, professional world. So I kind of also have a very pragmatic mind about me as well, to where I can be like, you know, let's set this system up here so that these people can do this. And, you know, I'm thinking about this very much in terms of, you know, as to make it easy for it to grow, basically, so other people can help me.
So, I mean, perhaps you could use somebody to get in touch with you who could simply handle emails and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. So if anybody's interested in that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, seriously, this is something that, you know, if you are listening here, if you're a NEET or something, or if you've got a job that you've got spare time, and this is something that you could do that would actually help the movement and people within it, you know, so it's very much worth considering. So the second thing was artists. I think you've talked about that, but would you like to talk about maybe the artists who are involved already? Maybe describe some of them briefly.
Yeah, let me pull up here so I can. I just wanted to kind of go through and name some of them, because, you know, one of the things I'm trying to do too is to just go and kind of name drop them in a way when I do get a platform. And this is the biggest platform I've been on so far, so thank you again, appreciate that. But yeah, I'll just give you some different names here. So Ash Donaldson is an author. They're actually, I don't have their stuff up on the site yet, but they've got a children's book called Blut und Boden, I think it is, which translates to blood and soil, I believe. And correct me, is that right? Okay. But anyway, so it's an excellent book. I'm about to have that up. And we just put out our Christmas album, which had five tracks on it called Memeing of a White Christmas. I had a track on there, and Joy of Strength was on there. He's one of our artists. Volk Dissident did one called Belsnickel Arrives, which is pretty cool. Belsnickel is like the pre-Santa Claus, like kind of hardcore German, kind of dirty guy with a switch. I think The Office, the American version of The Office, did a funny version of him with Dwight. But we got, I was talking about this guy earlier, Donald Jackson. He does caricatures and he also does comics. I think he works with Vox Day, and I think he had one of his characters was like Stickman, you know, Bass Stickman. And then there were some other like patriotic kind of stuff in there. Let's see, Illegal Aryans in there. He does cartoons. James Ryan, he's like a folk Americana musician. He's got a great song called Desiree that's over there. Oh, and let's see. And all these musicians that I'm naming, they're on the store. James Ryan's on the store. Gingerzilla, I've used some of his stuff. We did a video. Another thing we do for artists, and we have a lot of musicians, we did a music video for the Decency song, The Demons Among Us, which is about, you know, child sexual exploitation. That's over on our YouTube channel. That one's pretty cool. And we had like a 3D animator do the 3D. Gingerzilla did some 2D animation. I'm really proud of that one. I directed that. And let's see, we also have, I'm working on a number of collaborations, which is cool. Like I've got this guy, Wolf Schanze, who does some really cool, like kind of synth wave. It's kind of more industrial, like fash wave, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of like some Nine Inch Nails kind of 90s thing in there. And he said he was also influenced by Starship, which is kind of interesting. But I actually am teaming him up with a vocalist who's got a beautiful voice. And then I'm doing that with a couple people, and that's what I'm kind of trying to do, is like, oh, this guy's doing this, this guy's doing this. And then let's see, I said Volk. The Mamas and the Pepes. I got to mention the Mamas and the Pepes. They're over on Gab. They do great stuff. They just had an album come out here recently, and they're up on the site now. They just recently joined the White Art Collective. So yeah, I think that's a pretty good rundown there. I said Zen Constitutional, he does poetry. And we've got some other people that, you know, I'm talking to some other folks. Oh, another children's author, Simon Krims. He has a book called Roller Dog. I don't have it up yet, but he's about to get it to me. And that's a really cool. I've only heard of him through him contacting me, but that's, he's kind of like Dr. Seuss meets, the Brothers Grimm. And so his name seems appropriate, Simon Krims anyway. But, yeah, that's kind of a rundown of the artists we've got up there right now. And I've got some other people I'm in contact with as well.
Okay. So, would you like to go through the, question three, about the, well, not quite, point three that you listed. And so about distribution and prayer. I think we've already kind of, we've touched on that, but be quite explicit about it here.
Yeah. So I'm actually talking to some people behind the scenes. So my vision, I kind of had to make the White Art Collective. I smushed a lot of things together. As it grows, some things are going to kind of break out. Like we have a news blog thing that I would like to turn into like a non-communist Rolling Stone. You know, that's kind of its own thing that, you know, like might break out into its own thing at some point, but we have that. So if there's any writers out there or people who edit, you know, we're trying to get daily content. Some of it's kind of funny, but it's all we report on, you know, like pop culture and whatnot. But anyway, the distribution is, I've always had the vision of like basically creating like our own kind of Amazon or Netflix based kind of platform. And essentially, so what it would do is like, you would be able to, you know, you'd be like pay like a monthly subscription, you'd log in and you'd have access to all these different kind of things. So that's the direction that I'm headed in, is because that's a good way to get people paid. And I've been kind of working on that. And there's actually potentially some people that might help me do that behind the scenes who actually, you know, have some resources. So that's an exciting development that's only come my way in the past week or so. And it's also going to be more normie friendly. That's kind of the trick too, is like White Art Collective. I think it's good for recruiting artists because it is kind of jarring, and it makes it clear. I put up a flag basically, you know, But as far as the distribution of our stuff, I think it's better to have it be a little bit more, you know, ease people into it, more normie friendly. Like we said earlier, it's more that it will be from our perspective. That part is really more important than just, you know, waving the big flag right off the bat. So yeah, that's something we're working on. And basically just, I just think that, you know, there is no alternative to like Amazon, Netflix, you know, Hollywood, the big music industry, like publishing too, all that stuff. It's all run by the same group who is hostile, and you don't see our perspective. So the only way to combat that is to create our own platform. And I think that there's a lot of people on the right who are really sick of all of that crap and sick of all the anti-white stuff. So if we could create a legitimate alternative, I think that we could have people coming our way if we do it the right way.
Definitely. I agree with everything you just said there. I would just emphasize the normie friendly, that doesn't necessarily mean cowardly. Normie friendly often just means tasteful. You know, I mean, I really have this aversion to stuff that is just overtly political, because I think it just makes it so, I don't know, brain dead, quite frankly.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is. It's really a matter of like just respecting their sensibilities. Like, I don't care at all about what the people who hate us think. I'm not even trying to communicate to them at this point. The point is like crafting the message to where, you know, it doesn't offend the sensibilities of our people, you know, and that goes with like, don't be like really anti-Christian. That's a good, you know, that's a good way to lose a huge portion of the audience, you know? And I mean, I personally am an atheist, but a cultural Christian. I have no animosity. I'm not one of those at all. But, you know, I mean, all these things have to be crafted in a way to where we're not insulting them. And again, it's not cucking. It's just being tasteful. And so long as it comes from our perspective, and, you know, people put down, we have to kind of earn their trust, you know, and people put down their defenses while they're being entertained. That's actually how they got to us, is because they created all this subversive entertainment, and people were like, oh, well, maybe that's not such a bad idea. Oh, look, those people look nice. You know, they framed everybody and all these terrible things in the best possible light. And we fell for it. And we kind of have to do that in reverse, kind of a reprogramming. But I don't think, once we get a legitimate alternative, I don't think it should take nearly as long, because it's like they had to program people against their nature. And that's, you know, that's hard to do. It literally took decades and decades. And now we're just saying, no, drop all that baggage. That's all bullshit. Just let it go. You know, like you can't carry the weight of the world, you know. Atlas shrugged, ironically.
Very, very much. Yeah. Okay. So going on to point four, but tell people about the channel and the different shows that are on there.
Yeah, so I just kind of got the White Art Collective YouTube channel really up and running here in the last couple months. I've got a show, the first one I started out with is Artistic Dissection. And what I'm doing there is I'm kind of trying to help people understand from an artist's perspective, you know, because, you know, like you understand, we know what colors make people feel a certain way. We know what chords make people feel a certain way. You know, so from that perspective, I'm kind of dissecting this propaganda. Like I started out with some pop music videos like Katy Perry and Taylor Swift. And basically I'm trying to help people understand, because a lot of people will just watch that stuff and be like, oh, you know, it's just a song. It's just a pop song. I know you were talking to traditionalist Western art earlier. I did one with him too. And we were talking about, you know, oh, it's just a splatter painting. It's like, no, like basically, you know, things that you consume are just as important as what you eat. You know, if you eat toxic food, you're going to be all messed up. And the same thing with cultural stuff and music and film and everything. So I try to give people the tools. You know, people don't think in those terms. They don't think that deeply about that stuff. They're supposed to be a passive audience member. So I kind of break it down for them from that perspective. And then we have Real America Speaks, which is, I have Tom Kaczynski's in that one. Ayla Stewart, Wife of the Purpose, she's in that as well. She does a piece called Traditional Femininity. We've only got one of those up. so far, because it's like five different contributors.
That's always a difficulty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of a variety show. I like that because it, you know, for those of us who have like less people know us less, it kind of puts us between these bigger names, and it's also just kind of like nostalgic in a way. You know, it feels like you're watching an old TV show from like the 80s, you know, that's got a bunch of different set, almost like 60 minutes, but not boring like that, you know. It's for a different demographic, but we're wanting to do some more of those, and there's actually a preacher on there named Patrick Saint. He does an uncucked like little piece, like a 5-minute thing called Keeping the Faith. So I think that's good too. It's just positive, and he's got a really good perspective and cadence. And then War of the Words, I think I mentioned that earlier. It's like a skit show we're doing. We've got a couple of them up on the channel so far. I've got a bunch in the first two were a little bit political, but we want to do more of those with like less of a, you know, less overtly political. And then Saturday Night Live Stream, I think you had said you had watched one of those. That's every Saturday night at 9 p.m. EST. That's what I do is basically play like a bunch of different music from, and it's all original stuff. Like I found pretty early, the very first one I did, they wouldn't let me play like other, you know, like I tried to play like a Prince song or whatever, which that's a funny choice for, you know, being a white nationalist or whatever, but I was just like, you know, anyway, they shut that down. So I was like, you know,
Try not to use other people's stuff, because it's just a nightmare. You can get your channel taken down for doing that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I figured I would just see, because I've in the past, and this was before things got so heated, but you could do that kind of thing, but then if you gave credit, but now it's just, yeah, it's not even worth it. So it's actually better that way, because we play all original stuff. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like we're an independent like radio station playing all this like underground music. It's all edgy. So, I mean, I could see this seriously taking off, and
I think it should take off, because I listened to one of the episodes and the other night, and I thought, God, this is just really good stuff. So seriously, people should have a listen to that. What was the title of it? Real America Speaks?
No, that was the Saturday. That's yeah, Saturday no, that's Night the Variety Live Show.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The Saturday Night Live Stream. Right, okay. Sorry, I thought you were doing it in order. Yeah, I couldn't remember the title of it, but it was just really fun. So it went on like lasted about an hour, and you went through different musicians, and yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I don't like to be derivative, you know, with the name, but I was like, you know what? Sometimes I kind of like to co-opt what they've done in a way. We kind of own the pub, you know, like Saturday Night Live has been like a part of our culture for a long time, and a lot of it's been pretty subversive. So in a way, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to kind of co-opt some things. And but yeah, it's funny because it's kind of inverted at the moment in that we play a bunch of music and I play like a skit every now and again. But as we get more skits and stuff, it will probably kind of maybe like even that out a little bit. But yeah, it's just kind of an entertainment show. I want it to be, it's kind of a hangout, you know, like people come in the comments, and at some point, you know, maybe we'll take requests once we kind of have a big enough catalog. But yeah, I like that one a lot, and it's a lot of fun to do. Let's see. I've got one called Brainstorm. I do that one every now and again. That one's very niche, kind of like movement specific, but it's basically, I just get some people together on a Sunday night every now and again. And, I want to talk like very pragmatically about solutions, like especially trying to like figure out like, okay, what action do we take like within the movement? And, the last one I did a couple weeks ago, was with Landon Mondragon. He's over on Gab. He's a good guy. And we're wanting to organize some traditional dances. This is an idea that I think could go viral if we do it in the right way, but basically try to get this, you know, like get our own, kind of propaganda around it, like romanticizing and idealizing like these kinds of events. And I'm actually even writing like a little how to organize a traditional dance kind of a thing, because I've done a decent amount of event organizing. So I think that, you know, oriented towards like what's something we can do, how do we get people involved, you know, these kind of things. And then I got a bunch of shows in development. I don't need to go over all that, of course, but we do have a 3D animated show, like I said, so that one's going to be interesting. That'll be really cool when that comes out.
Right, excellent. And this can all be found on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Okay, great. I think I've linked to it in the description, but if not, I've definitely linked. Well, I will link to it in the description. But if that becomes invalid for whatever reason, you'll be able to go to whiteartcollective.com and find the channel there and the different shows. So, okay, move on to special projects.
Yeah, so I think I said earlier, yeah, I mentioned the memeing of a white Christmas. We also we're working on some collaborations. I think I brought that up. We're working on another music video for The Decency, his A More Realistic Vision of Love. That one's in the pipeline. And that's something we can do for musicians in general, you know, offer to make them music videos. I'm trying to get, that's actually a good, it's a good medium for new filmmakers to kind of cut their teeth. I was talking about this in an artistic dissection that like these music videos get like billions and billions of views. So, you know, if we had one that went viral, I mean, that would be like one of the easiest production wise and cheapest ways to get our message, even if, again, if it's just perspective, like out there to a really broad audience. So yeah,
that's, that'd be great.
Yeah. Right. And I also, this is kind of the big one as far as, we also do like some contests and stuff. We had a contest for Conversations with Tom, which is Tom Kaczynski of National Right, his podcast that he has over there. And the Mamas and the Pepes, they won that one. We had a cash prize. So we're doing that kind of stuff too, you know, kind of getting people excited and kind of giving them some incentive to, you know, do some creative stuff. And then the big one, this was what I was going to say a second ago, is I want to have an annual arts festival, like kind of a South by Southwest. I think that'd be, that's like a big goal. And we got to figure out the logistics of that. But I've been talking to a number of people. I'm trying to find, I'd really like to do one. I wanted to do it this year, but we didn't get it done. But I'm trying to find private land, trying to figure out the logistics. Even if we did it really small, we could kind of, you know, really control the narrative of it and make like a little short film about it and, you know, live stream performances and whatnot. And I think that something like that would be huge for us and galvanizing and just a big white pill for everybody.
It would be. I'd love to go to something like that.
Yeah. And you'd be invited.
Thank you.
No, you'd be a special guest. That'd be awesome. Yeah, exactly. We could bring everybody together and have, you know, like a, I could just imagine it, you know, it'd be a big deal. And the thing is, it's crazy. There's so many festivals out there. There's so many film festivals. There's so many music festivals and arts festivals. Like there's absolutely no reason why we shouldn't have one. I mean, you know, there's no reason we can't make that happen. Well, there are reasons we can't make it happen, but we're going to overcome them.
Yeah. And again, it's just, it's, I mean, it's a matter of the willpower, isn't it? It's a matter of just finding out what needs to be done in order to achieve this goal. It might not be easy, but I think it would be probably easier than a lot of people would assume, actually.
Yeah. You know, that's exactly right. That's something I've been writing and thinking a lot about is just like the willpower. I feel like a lot of what is being done to us is to basically just zap people's energy and their willpower to make them think that, oh, it's hopeless. You know, we see a lot of black pillars these days. Yeah, there's some bad things going on, but it's like, it's just a matter of just actually doing things. And there's absolutely no reason why we can't make this happen. And yeah, like I said, even if it was 50 people, even if we just treated it like a private event, you know, and we just said, you know, like invited like some known people, people whose faces are already out there, but also, you know, kind of like do this first one, maybe kind of safe or whatever, you know, just to be sure, because we don't want it to get a bad name and have a chilling effect right off the bat. So we got to be careful about OPSEC and whatnot, but still, just to make it happen, just to do it, it would be hugely galvanizing just to get all those people in the same place, listening to music, you know, showing our films and, you know, let's watch Braveheart. I don't know. Let's have a special showing of Braveheart. Something like that, you know.
All right. Well, I won't come if you show that film. No, okay. Excellent. Well, I just think it sounds very exciting and a great idea. And I hope that you're able to pull it off. So, okay, let's end by, you can just tell people how, what you need and how they can help. I've written down some notes, if you want me to do that, I'll do that. And then you can chime in with any other things. Sounds like you need a PA, somebody to deal with emails. You need artists to keep applying and contributing stuff. You need distributors and, you know, related things like that. And of course, you need what we all need, which is funding.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all those things. And I'm not getting any money so far. I've been doing this for about coming up on a year, but that's really where it's going to be able to expand, is like, if I could really focus on things, and if I just had even just a little bit of money to throw people's way, I mean, it does a lot. It's hard to get everybody on the same page when everything is voluntary. You can do so much, but you know, if we could just get a little money going, we could do big things. And also, like feature length films, that's kind of the big enchilada, so to speak. And we have the capability to do that too. And that's not nearly as far as our reach as people think it is. You can do those if you know what you're doing, and you can kind of engineer it around what we know our resources are. You can do something cool. You know, necessity is the mother of all invention. So all of these things are within our reach. And yeah, the email is contact@whiteartcollective.com. And I'm on Twitter. I'm on Gab. Obviously, the YouTube channel is the main one. So please go over there and like and subscribe and do all those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, help support this. And if you're an artistic type yourself, please get involved. So excellent. Well, I hope that this helps you. I hope that this leads to things, because I do think that we need something like this. I think it's time for something like this, and I think that from what I've seen, you're the guy to do it, quite frankly. I'm not just saying that. I think that you've got the various skills and attitudes that are necessary to pull this off.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your support, and yeah, I think it'll definitely be helpful to be on here, and it was an honor.
Okay, yeah, well, you're very welcome. So, okay, I hope this was useful. Hope people subscribe to the Twitter and the YouTube. And do you have an Instagram?
I do not have an Instagram.
Oh, I don't know. It might help. I'm not sure. Might be worth trying out.
But I'll have to hire somebody to do the Instagram, because I'm already, you know.
I know. Tell me about it. All right. Okay, well, let's leave it at that. And okay, so this is Jeff from the White Art Collective. Thank you for appearing on Millennial 2018, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay, and to everyone else, I will see you in about an hour with the final show of tonight, which is, it's On the Offensive. So that should be great. So, okay, I'll see you then. Bye for now.